If you're a business owner, perhaps you can consider a larger donation for a write-off because we know the government isn't working on saving babies. A donation of $1,000, $2,000, $20,000, all gifts are tax deductible and will reach eternity. Please get involved today. Welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
All right. Well, good morning. We have a brand new intro, and I had forgotten about that. So you are listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I wanted to read to you from Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, chapter 2, beginning in verse 7. He says this, "Ho Zion, escape you who are living with the daughter of Babylon, for thus says the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of angel armies." That's what the Lord of hosts means. "After glory, he has sent me against the nations which plunder you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye." Israel is the apple of God's eye. I want to talk to you today about the rise of anti-Semitism that is sweeping across America, that is sweeping across the world. You have heard the chants from Hamas and from those who are pro-Palestinian, the chants on college campuses, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free." Rashida Tlaib, the Hamas supporter, the terrorist supporter, it's amazing that that lady is in Congress. She hates America. I don't understand for the life of me how people can vote for people who hate America to represent America, but she does. It's like having somebody on your ball team that wants the team to lose. Not a good selection there. But she was chanting that or supporting that, "From the river to the sea." She took a lot of heat for that because even some of the Democrats are like, "Whoa, what does that mean, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free?" Well, people don't even know what it means. It means that we want to wipe Israel off the map, from the River Jordan to the west, to the sea, the Mediterranean Sea. We're going to wipe them out. I was listening to a teaching the other day, a history lesson from Ben Shapiro, and he was just talking about what has transpired from the time of Abraham until now in the land of Israel. And he said, you know, this idea, Barack Obama was saying, we need a two-state solution to the problem between Israel and the Palestinians. He said, at every juncture, every time they come to the table to try and work out a peace treaty, he said, there can be no peace. They don't want a two-state solution. What do they want? They sit down at the table and they say, well, here is our negotiation. We want all the Jews dead. We want to wipe Israel out from the River Jordan to the sea, to the Mediterranean Sea. Anything less than that, and we won't accept it. So if you sit down to negotiate with somebody and his only position is you die, it's pretty hard to negotiate. And so he was just pointing out that there is no sense of compromise with somebody that has the one position of your death. And so we have this saying that is sweeping into the world and into college campuses, and everybody gets on the bandwagon because, as we shared last week, the term coined, I think, by George Barna, moral therapeutic deism. That's the idea that, you know, kids want to get, I say kids, young people, students, teenagers, young 20s, they want to get on the bandwagon to hey, we have this moral cause, and we were told that the people living in Gaza, that's an occupied area, they're the oppressed people, and Israel is the oppressor, and we've learned from critical race theory that oppressors are bad, and the oppressed are always good, so we're on the bandwagon. flag, and we're on the team for the Palestinians who live in Gaza, who are run by Hamas. Hamas is a terrorist organization. Hamas has the fingerprints of Satan all over it. Anybody that could support Hamas is your moral compass is so broken that you don't know the difference between up and down. Isaiah 5 verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute light for darkness and darkness for light, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And I'm corrected. Moralistic therapeutic deism is a term, is the term. So moralistic therapeutic deism. I was going off memory, and I'm glad my producer, Jay Budzilowski, corrected me. But that's what people want to jump on, because it's moral. Oh, this feels good. This is a moral thing, and we're moral people. We're on the side of justice and social justice, and that therapeutic, well, it makes them feel good inside. And deism, that's our God. That's our God. And so causes become God. But they don't know what they're talking about. And so here is an example of how twisted this is. And we had Neil Shenvey and Pat Sawyer on the program last week talking about their new book, Critical Dilemma, The Rise of Social Theories and Social Justice Ideologies. And what does that mean for the church? And what does that mean for the next generation? They're being taught this, that those in power are bad. White men are bad. White cisgendered men are bad. What does that mean? It means men who realize there are two genders and men who like women, that we are bad, and it's those minorities that are good, and so we always support the minorities. And there are implications for that, for sure. But here's a clip that I ran across. A guy went into one of these rallies for Palestine, and he began to ask questions, and pretty shocking, the answers. Listen.
I am queer for Palestine, yes.
What do you think about the argument when people are saying in Gaza they kill gay people?
It's very unsafe to be queer here too. No, if you...
But they're not actually killing gay people for being gay by law, right? The way it is in Gaza.
But why do we keep going back to like Gaza?
Why is there such a basis for them to have a homeland? Nobody else has a homeland.
Where are you from, if you don't mind me asking?
My family's from Afghanistan.
In Afghanistan, by the way, so that's a Muslim country, right?
Predominantly, yes.
So would you consider that your homeland?
Yes, and so I guess I do have a claim over that, but you can't claim Israel.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Free Palestine!
Yeah, so the girl said, well, you know, why does Israel have to have a homeland? He said, well, don't you have a homeland? Yeah, you know, where's your home? Afghanistan? Well, wouldn't that be called your homeland? Well, yeah, but that's not the same. It's just ridiculous. And then that guy that was Queers for Palestine, he said, they kill people like you in Gaza. Well, why are we even talking about Gaza? He doesn't even know what he's there for. He has no clue, no concept. And so these people that are saying, hey, from the river to the sea, we want to destroy Israel. And Rashida Tlaib saying the same thing. It's insane. And here's more insanity. Is you have Kamala Harris coming on just in the last couple of days, concerned about Islamophobia, the rise of Islamophobia in America. Anti-Semitism is off the charts right now, just sweeping across not only America, not only college campuses in America, but across the world. And she's concerned about Islamophobia. You know, I saw that and I thought, is this a parody? But then I heard her. I saw the interview where she was talking into the camera. She is concerned about that. We're going to have a comprehensive policy and program against Islamophobia. Well, you know, you put anything with phobia. So homophobia, what does that mean? Oh, I'm afraid of gay people. Transphobia, I'm afraid of trans people. Islamophobia, I'm afraid of Islam. I'm not afraid of any of those things. But you call them out for what they are. I posted on Twitter the other day, or on X, now the new name for Twitter, that I'm not afraid of Islam by any stretch of the imagination. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. But I recognize Islam for what it is, a satanic false religion. And somebody got on to me about that and called me a bigot. How dare you, was the attitude. You're a bigot, calling that a satanic religion. Well, here's the thing. You do some critical thinking here. 2 + 2 = 4. Anything else is false. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. Islam doesn't teach that. And so if Christianity is true, then Islam is false. If Islam is true, then Christianity is false. But they both can't be true. And 2 + 2 doesn't equal 5. It doesn't equal 3. It equals 4. And so if you have truth, as Jesus said, John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word, Father, is the truth. You have truth from the word of God. And then you have the devil, who's a liar and the father of lies. Truth is coming from God. Where do we get lies? We get that from the father of lies. And he never ceases, Acts chapter 13, he never ceases to make crooked the straight paths of the Lord. And so the spirit of the age, the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians chapter 2, is working and pushing the world in this direction. The devil hates Israel because Israel represents the promises of God, and the devil can't stand the fact that God's promises are going to come true, because God's promises for Israel are going to come true. God's promises concerning the devil and his Antichrist are going to come true, and they all end up in the Word of God, Revelation chapter 20. They all end up in hell, being tormented forever and ever and ever in the lake of fire. That's where you find the beast. That's where you find the false prophet. That's where you find the dragon. And that's where you find all those who reject Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. God didn't prepare hell for people, although people do go to hell. He prepared hell for the devil and his angels. And that's where the devil is going to end up. So he hates the promises of God. He hates the fact that Israel is the apple of God's eye, and he wants to destroy Israel, and he wants to foment this hatred toward Israel. Hey, let's jump on this bandwagon from the river to the sea. Palestine will be free, because that appeals to our moralistic therapeutic deism, and not realizing that means you want to exterminate the Jews. In that same man on the street interview where that guy was asking questions of those students, he said, well, where do all the millions of the Jews go when you take Israel away from them? And one of those kids said, let them go to hell. Wow. The rise of anti-Semitism. Listen, my wife was asked by a friend the other day who lives in Houston, said, this friend, they were talking about church, and she goes to a large church, and she said, you know, it bothers me that our church doesn't pray for Israel. And she said to Debbie, she said, do y'all pray for Israel? And Debbie said, every time we get together as a church, every Sunday and every Wednesday too, we pray for Israel. We're commanded, Psalm 122 verse 6, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And when Jerusalem is at war, we are definitely praying for the peace of Jerusalem. We're praying for the apple of God's eye. We know that God will defend his people, because God will defend his word and his promises, and no promise of God can be thwarted. No purpose of God can be thwarted. So we have total confidence that God will defend his people. But here's the thing, and here's the big question for you. Do you go to a church that boldly declares its support of Israel? Because if we say, well, we support Israel in silence, We support Israel from afar, so far away that they can't even see us supporting. That's not support at all. We need to stand up boldly and support Israel and pray for Israel and let the world know and let our communities know that our church stands for Israel. Why? Because God has made promises to Israel. Israel is the apple of God's eye, and we stand with God and with God's people. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the rise of anti-Semitism. Don't go away. According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding. And preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they're trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies' lives every single day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. So please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies' lives, so be generous. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We're talking about the rise of anti-Semitism. It is sweeping across America, sweeping across the world, and we see it in the protest that they had in Washington, D.C. just a couple of days ago, and I wanted to play you a clip from that protest.
The big story tonight, tens of thousands of pro-Palestinian protesters flooding the streets of our nation's capital. Many of them spewing anti-Semitic tropes and hate as they make calls for the total destruction and annihilation of Israel.
The pro-Palestinian rally in downtown D.C. Organizers are calling this the largest in U.S. history. Tens of thousands of people from across the country.
Organizers are expecting up to 30,000 people or so from all across the country.
Alexa, a growing number of Democratic lawmakers believe the Biden administration can and should do more.
But this is by far the largest we've seen in Washington, D.C. since this war began.
Earlier this afternoon, and many people, they came here from all parts of the country.
Israel can go to hell!
Talking about the D.C. protests, thousands and thousands, tens of thousands there protesting because Joe Biden said that America stands with Israel. Well, how long America will have a public stance with Israel remains to be seen. As Joel Rosenberg said, you know, as the war goes on and Israel is forced, they were attacked on October 7th. That was their 9/11 times 30, because of the percentage of people that were killed and brutally killed. I mean, we had horrible things happen on 9/11, flying airplanes into the World Trade Center and people being burned. But we didn't have the barbarism that they had, where hand-to-hand cutting off the heads of babies and butchering people and raping women. I mean, it's just sickening. As I've said, it has the fingerprints of Satan all over it. And what are they do? What is fueling this? Allahu Akbar. It's a Muslim chant. Allah is great. And they kill people in the name of their God. We don't do that as believers. We love people in the name of our God. We leave the judgment to God, but Israel now is forced to respond, and they are forced because of all the history with Hamas. You can't deal with Hamas. I think I shared last week, I think it's a good analogy, the old Terminator movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, when Reese, who was sent back from the future to protect Sarah Connor, he said, "You don't understand, this thing feels no pity. You can't reason with the Terminator. He will just keep coming and coming and coming and coming until you're dead. And the only way to deal with the Terminator is to kill the Terminator. The only way to deal with Hamas is to kill Hamas. You have to destroy that organization. Otherwise, they just will rebuild and come back." And the nations that are sending in humanitarian aid to Gaza, that may sound good, but who does it go to? It goes to Hamas. What does Hamas use it for? Well, they don't use it to protect their people. They use their people as human shields. They use it to perpetuate the war against the quote-unquote occupiers. Well, we have a big problem in America today, a big problem in the world, the rise of anti-Semitism, and God has called us to stand with the people of Israel because he will bless those who bless Israel. He will curse those who curse Israel. Israel, not because of anything great in Israel, but because of God's choice, Israel is the apple of God's eye. Well, recently I listened to an interview that Brett Baer did with a congressman, Wesley Hunt, from Texas, talking about this very issue.
You know, this quote from the Department of Justice is really chilling. This suspect, Dye, allegedly threatened to stab and slit the throat of any Jewish males he sees on campus, to rape and throw off a cliff any Jewish females, and to behead any Jewish babies. In that same post, Dye threatened to bring an assault rifle to campus and shoot all you pig Jews. I mean, stark. The Justice Department putting out that statement. Your thoughts on this and what it means at your university?
This is absolutely appalling. And when I left Cornell after my graduate studies in 2016, as I see these kinds of statements come out of that institution, it's absolutely unrecognizable. Many of my classmates that I was in class with, they were Jewish. You should see the text messages and the emails that I've gotten. It's absolutely horrifying. And there was a fine line between free speech and hate speech. And just because you are a Jewish student does not give others the right to condemn your religion and who you are as a human being and as a person. And we're seeing this not just at Cornell, but we're seeing this all over the country, this rise of anti-Semitism. And if you are a professor that's spewing this hatred toward Jewish people, you should be fired. If you are a student that's perpetuating this hate, you should be expelled. End of discussion. And at some point, these institutions have got to take a lead and stand for doing the right thing, and that's stopping hate speech at our premier institutions.
And it's spreading, it seems. I mean, it seems like this has increased in different college campuses. You have some Board of Regents, some officials on different boards. You have some alumni that are stepping up and saying this is unacceptable. But overall, it seems to be spreading.
It is. And Brett, when you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. When you allow wokeism to infiltrate your institutions like we've seen it for the past few years, this is kind of the result of that. These Board of Regents needs to actually get together and have conversations about how we allow people to learn, but also learn in a safe way, and how we differentiate hate speech from free speech.
How do you see this effort to censure your Democratic colleague, Rashida Tlaib, from Michigan? How do you stand on that?
I view her as being the leader of the Hamas caucus. And if you are a sitting United States congressperson and you cannot condemn the acts of Hamas, if you cannot condemn the worst act that we've seen against the Jewish people since the Holocaust, then why are you even in Congress, and how do you even call yourself an American? I'm glad we are taking this round, because we're going to expose these people for exactly who they are. If you're not willing to condemn what Hamas did to these people in Israel, I'm sorry. I cannot believe I can even call you a colleague of mine.
You know, it's interesting.
That was Wesley Hunt, congressman from Texas and a Cornell University grad, talking about the anti-Semitism on the campus of Cornell and also on the campuses of so many other institutions, Harvard and other institutions. And it is a result of critical race theory being taught on the college campuses. You know, when I was a student at the University of Texas, you had a bunch of liberal professors there in Austin, and you'd think, well, okay, they're, you know, not teaching any classes that I go to, or I'm able to take what they say and take it all with a grain of salt. But year after year after year, decade after decade after decade of that, well, that influences a generation of people. And as Paul Washer said, you know, he issued this chilling prophecy. He said, hey, we're going to collapse in America because we send our kids off to these universities and we scratch our heads wondering why they came back questioning everything in the Bible, hating America, becoming atheists and agnostics. And we say, well, wait a minute, what happened? Well, he said, you fed them to the lion's mouth. You didn't do your homework and you just thought, well, everything is okay. It's not okay. They're being taught poison. And just like you wouldn't put poison in your mouth, don't put poison in your mind. Obviously, we need to know what's going on in the world. We need to be cognizant of what is being taught out there. We need to be cognizant of critical race theory. And I do recommend the book Critical Dilemma, The Rise of Critical Theories and Social Justice Ideologies by Neil Shinvey and Pat Sawyer. I think it is an important read for us in the church to know what is out there and to know what implications that has for the church, because it does affect young people especially. And as George Barna said on our program just the other day, he said a kid's worldview is set by the time that child is 13 years old. And so as parents, it's been incumbent upon us to teach our children a biblical worldview from the earliest stages of development, and let them know that mom and dad love the Lord. We love the Word of God. The Word of God is true. We don't view Scripture through the lens of circumstances and culture. We view culture and circumstances through the lens of Scripture. That's what having a biblical worldview really means. Well, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you on the subject of the rise of anti-Semitism. And to answer this question, at your church, is your church taking a stand for Israel, a public stand? Are you hearing from the pulpit that, hey, we're going to pray for the peace of Jerusalem because Jerusalem is in a war? Israel is in a war, and we are going to pray for them. We're going to pray for the Jews, and we're going to take a public stand for the Jews and for Israel. Why? Because Israel is the apple of God's eye, and we take a public stand for God's people. That's taking a public stand for God. We had a caller last week that said, you know, my pastor won't do that because it's too controversial. He doesn't want to take a stand. Pastors, listen, we have to take a stand for righteousness, and it will be controversial. The gospel is offensive. It's a stumbling block, as it says in 1 Corinthians. To the Jews, it's a stumbling block. To the Gentiles, it's foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. People don't like to hear, as crazy as it seems, they don't like to hear the good news. That's what gospel means, euangelion, the good news. They don't want to hear the good news. Why would that be offensive? Why would good news be offensive? Because good news is predicated by bad news. And the bad news is that you are a sinner. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Well, people don't like to be called sinners. You tell those that identify as LGBTQI plus, hey, you're in sin. Homosexuality is sin. How dare you? How dare you call me? Who are you to call me a sinner? Well, I'm a nothing nobody, but the Word of God calls you a sinner. And the Word of God tells us what is in bounds and what is out of bounds morally. The Word of God tells us what is right and what is wrong. And the Word of God says that is clearly wrong, that is clearly a sin. And all have sinned in all sorts of ways. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And what do we get for our sin? The wages of sin, you get paid for sin. The wages of sin is death. Death. And so we are all in trouble. Now, the good news comes to those who are sinners, who are on the highway to hell, and the good news is you don't have to go there. Tim Lee, who's going to be a guest on the program this week, and he's going to be at First Baptist Texarkana this Sunday for a one-day revival. Tim Lee, who lost both his legs in Vietnam, he has this to say. He's been an evangelist for years. He said, listen, you don't have to go to heaven, and you don't have to go to hell, but you can't stay here on planet Earth. You're going to have to make a decision, and you will live forever either in heaven or in hell. And what makes the determination of that? It's the question of Pontius Pilate, what then shall I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? That is the question of all questions asked by an unbeliever. Pilate was an unbeliever, but he asked that question, and that is the question that determines whether you spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. What will you do with Jesus? As the song says, what then? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. One day your soul will be asking, what will he do with me? Well, we're going to the phone lines, and we have Tom from Rhode Island on the line. Tom, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, hi, good morning, Pastor Shreve. And I have just a comment, I guess, and that is that I kind of blame it back to George W. Bush and when he called Islam one of the world's great religions. As I've always said, there are great hamburgers, there are great cars, but there's only one true religion. Religions aren't measured by greatness, you know?
Right. That's a good point. Yeah, George W. Bush didn't do us any favors when he was calling Islam a peaceful religion and all that stuff. It's never been a peaceful religion. Muhammad wasn't a peaceful guy. Muhammad had an encounter with a demon that gave him the information. No doubt he had an angelic encounter, that just like he said, but it was with a fallen angel, not a holy angel, and that's where he got his information. How do we know that? Well, because there is the truth and there is falsehood, and he comes on the scene in the 7th century AD. Christianity has been rolling for hundreds of years, and comes on and says, no, it's there's one God, his name is Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet, and it's just, it's a Johnny-come-lately falsehood, and so many people believe it. It's smash-mouth religion, and it's never been peaceful, and it's always had the devil's fingerprints all over it. And why do we say that? Because it's filled with death. As the motto of Hamas clearly says, we love death as much as you love life. And so you're exactly right, Tom. George W. Bush should have called it, said the truth about it, but he was concerned about that. And just as so many are, and so many pastors are, I don't want to say anything that would be controversial. But listen, now is not the time to be a compromiser. Now is the time to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and stand up, as we talked about at church yesterday at First Baptist Texarkana, the prayer that God wants us to pray, Acts chapter 4. Lord, give your children boldness. Give your servants boldness to speak as we ought to speak. Paul told the Ephesians, pray for me that I'd have boldness to speak as I ought to speak, that it would be powerful, that it would be plain, that it would call people to repentance and to the one and only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. We'll be right back after this break. Don't go away.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
It is national collection time at American Family Radio for Operation Christmas Child, sending the good news of Jesus Christ to children around the world through a simple shoebox gift. And every shoebox gift is an opportunity to share about Jesus Christ and God's love. And we have been involved at that with this from Samaritan's Purse for many, many years as a church and American Family Radio, American Family Association. Also, Operation Christmas Child is celebrating its 30 years of ministry. It started in 1993, and it has given out millions and millions of boxes and changed the lives of so many kids around the world through a simple shoebox as more and more people get involved. And we have a Sunday school class at our church, a group of wonderful ladies, and they have committed this ministry. It's a year-long ministry for them, and this year they're going to have 12,000 shoeboxes that comes from this one Sunday school class at First Baptist Texarkana. And so it's an awesome opportunity for you and your family to get involved. Pack your shoebox now with any standard shoebox. Drop it off during the third week of November. That's November 13th through 20th. Shoeboxes will be collected across the country at more than 4,500 drop-off locations. You can find out more. Just go to samaritanspurse.org/OCC, Operation Christmas Child, and you can find a drop-off location near you. And this would be a great thing for you and your family to do together, to say, hey, we're going to make a difference in the life of a child that we may never meet this side of heaven. But we never know who we're going to meet in heaven that is there because of our witness, and God used us even in something as simple as a Christmas shoebox for that child. Well, we are talking on the program the rise of anti-Semitism, and we want to go to the phone lines. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And here's a question I have for you. Is your church, is your pastor publicly praying for Israel and standing for Israel? Because we are commanded to do that. And we live in a time, for such a time as this, where we need to stand up and speak up as Christians. We don't need to go in Secret Service mode and go undercover. We need to be out front, speaking the truth in love. And as Paul said, if need be, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Well, we have first-time caller Michael on the line from Texas. Michael, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Thank you very much, Pastor. And I'd like to I'd like to first and foremost say God bless AFA and AFR. And I've been listening for about 4 years. Bless your ministry, brother.
Thank you.
And I want to say this right here concerning what you're talking about this morning. The Bible gives us, you know, an understanding of the things that are going to be happening here in our day and age. But I wanted to say this concerning what some of the things about some of the things that are happening here in America right now. And it speaks of the members of the upper echelon of our society, namely our leaders and our influences. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 32, verses 5, it speaks of the vile person. And I'd like to read one verse for you, and then I'd like to hear your comments. It says in Isaiah chapter 32, verses 6, it says, "For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the souls of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail." I'd like to hear your comments on it, because a lot of the preachers, and to answer your question, they're not speaking it in the church that I go to. Of course, I won't name any names, but I'm just saying they don't talk about prophecy very much. Thank you very much, sir.
Right. Very good. Thank you, Michael. Thank you for calling. You're exactly right. So we have preachers today. We're closer than ever to the return of Christ. Now, I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, and so I'm looking toward heaven for the Lord to come back, and we are to wait patiently, 1 Thessalonians, and expectantly for the Lord to return. But we have so many pulpits that are silent on the return of the Lord, and they're not willing to call out evil, and because they don't want to get controversial, they don't want to get political. They say, well, I have our church is open to everybody, and I don't want to put anybody in a situation where they feel uncomfortable. Well, our church is open to everybody too, and we want to speak the truth in love. We're not looking at things from a Republican-Democrat point of view. We're looking at things from a right and wrong point of view. And so as you were reading Isaiah 32, verse 6, "For a fool speaks nonsense, and his heart inclines toward wickedness, to practice ungodliness, and to speak error against the Lord, to keep the hungry person unsatisfied, and to withhold drink from the thirsty." So God forbid that a pastor who is called by God and given the responsibility by God to open up the Word of God, which is to be bread for our souls and meat for our souls and milk for our souls, and to withhold that from the people, that is a grave, grave sin. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, I go back there in my mind often, Paul's last letter to that he wrote to his protege in ministry, his child in the faith, Timothy, and it's to all of us. Hey, in the last days, he says, difficult times will come, chapter 3, verse 1. And then he says, hey, Timothy, I charge you before God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They're going to want to have their ears tickled. They will turn aside from the truth and turn aside to myths. So in that kind of situation, in that time period, we need to stand up and speak up and be plain spoken. Lord, grant your servants that we would have all confidence. That was in the midst of the threats that the Sanhedrin was going to shut them down and perhaps kill them. And they said, Lord, we don't need to be protected. We need to have courage to do our jobs and to speak the word with all boldness. So I would agree with you, brother. We need to be preaching about the coming of Christ, and we need to stand up and speak up for the Lord and suffer hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, come what may. But we don't compromise on the word of God. Let me read to you this short little illustration from Studdart Kennedy. I shared this yesterday at church. Studdart Kennedy was a chaplain in World War I, and he wrote to his wife to give this information to his little son of what to pray. He said, the first prayer I want my son to learn to say for me is not, God keep daddy safe, but God make daddy brave. And if he has hard things to do, make him strong to do them. Life and death don't matter. Right and wrong do. Daddy dead is daddy still. But daddy dishonored before God is something awful. Too bad for words. I love that. Death and life don't matter. Right and wrong do. And we have given our lives to Christ. We have died with Christ. We have a brand new life in Christ. We're here on this earth for such a time as this to be his witnesses until he calls us home. I'm not talking about being obnoxious and going out of your way to be obnoxious to people. I'm not talking about poking people in the eye every time you meet them. I'm not talking about preaching sermons to every friend and family member you meet. I'm talking about shining and sharing and standing up for the truth. Remember this, a one-on-one conversation is not a sermon. I stand up before a group of people and I preach a sermon and I share the truth with people, and I can be very bold speaking the truth in love because I'm not talking to anyone directly. I'm talking to everyone, and it's a situation where, hey, if the shoe fits, wear it. But when you're talking one-on-one to somebody, you need to speak the truth in love. But love and grace and compassion and kindness need to be there in abundance as you share the truth. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, as we learned from Mary Poppins. So I appreciate that, Michael. God bless you, brother. Well, we have Carol on the line from Arkansas. Carol, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff, and thank you for speaking out on this issue. I think Christians need to come to the reality that all of the disciples of Jesus Christ were martyred, and a lot of them in the Arab countries. But anyway, we need to learn to speak out, because according to these radicals that have been infiltrated into our colleges and the lower schools from K to, as you say, to 12, they are teaching this hatred and this critical race theory, which I was very disappointed that we couldn't even speak out on that and or vote on that at the Southern Baptist Convention in Nashville. But anyway, we're going to have to learn to speak, because the haters of the so-called Palestinians, which are not, but they call Israel the little Satan, and America is the big Satan. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know, I'm pre-World War II born, so I know a lot about what happened in Germany, and I know it's happening here, the same thing over. And they have infiltrated, and there is a red-green nexus, that is Marxist and Islam. They work together, and there are millions. I'm not exaggerating. That's not hyperbole. There are millions of them in here now as a fact of the border being open. They have just been coming in unabated, flowing in here, and they are all over our country. We're putting them up in hotels. They have been furnished with cell phones and credit cards and maps so they can go everywhere. There are these Islamic training camps all over our country. I know what I'm speaking of. I was on the National Republican Platform Committee in 92 when my then president, who was a traitor to this country, sold our missile technology to the Chinese communists, and that money went into the Clinton Foundation. His wife sold our uranium. I'm telling you, people, you need to study the facts. And the good place to start is read any of Bill Federer's books on this issue. Also, Robert Spencer, he's got several books. Just go in and Google up and read them, and read what their doctrine in their Quran says about we Christians. Mm-hmm. And Americans in particular, but they have done a real job on it. And there's much more I could say, but just beware, because another thing that most people are not aware of is that they have been ordering, they, the deep state globalists, arranging this. Of course, it's Satan in the back of it.
Carol, I appreciate that, and I agree with you, and I appreciate you bringing that up. We have some other callers to get to, but thank you for calling, and thank you for that encouragement, because we do need to be aware of what's going on. And Bill Federer is a friend of mine, and he's been on the program on numerous occasions. He has great books about this that help open our eyes to what is taking place. America's like a frog in the water, and so many of the citizens in America, Americans, are just going through life, you know, not thinking critically about what is happening. And we're going to pay for that. So we need to educate ourselves, and especially as Christians, and thank the Lord for American Family Radio, American Family Association, that does a great job in keeping us educated. So God bless you, Carol. Thanks for calling. Well, we have probably time for one more call. So we have Mona in Kentucky. Mona, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Shreve. Thanks for taking my call, and God bless you and American Family Radio.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make all your listeners aware, as a licensed counselor for 2.5 decades, and the Lord placing it on my heart to really understand a lot about false religions and false prophets. If you look at the history of Muhammad, his behavior is almost identical to what we would see in our current history of false prophets like Jim Jones, David Koresh, Charles Manson. There are sociopaths, and if you look at Muhammad's history, it's almost identical. And so there is a great book out there that talks about Muhammad's history that prompted me to go research it, because I thought, gosh, this sounds identical to what we see today in the false religions and false prophets. So I just encourage your listeners to take a look at some of the history and to understand how masses can be duped by someone who is has psychopathy or is a sociopath. And that's all I've got, sir.
Yeah, Mona, what's the book that you were referring to?
I don't remember the name of it, but the gentleman was on the program that is aired on AFR at 7 p.m. Central, and I would have to look it up. But if you want me to, I can do that and then call and leave it with you all tomorrow.
Yeah, that'd be great. The book I have on Muhammad is from Anisha Roche. It's an older book, but it doesn't matter because Muhammad died in the 600s AD. So it's not that old. But anyway, yeah, we do need to know, you know, he's the founder of it. So look at his life. Look to see what he did, because true Islam is going to follow the founder. Well, thanks so much for listening today. I'm sorry, Glenda, we did not get to you. But thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. It's a joy and a privilege to be with you. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And God will use you as his witness. God bless you. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.